Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, what a great day. The sun's shining, the birds are chirping, and the Lord's here with us. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to talk a bit about you become what you focus on. And it's a little bit about being a sinner or being a saint, really. You know, so many times we are told to be, you've sinned today, and I think one liturgy in a particular church denomination says, before we commence the day, we better look at the sin in our lives and sins that we did and sins we don't know whether we did, but we might have done them, and all this sort of stuff goes on. And for me, it's like an argument inside me about, God, didn't you do all this? Isn't this that cleansed my heart? And why am I being reminded that I'm a sinner when I'm not? You see, but I do sin sometimes, and God fixes that up. So today I just want to throw the idea out about what you think on when the roof falls in, basically, in your life. What do you think about mostly? And I think we've been really trained by some of the old guys way back to think about just, you know, God saved us, but we're still sinners. And I know there's a certain person I won't remember, say the name, but way back, and he was a womanizer, and he was a drunkard, and all sorts of things happening in the way back near the early church times, and he was very influential in changing a lot of the church into what I'm talking about today in the negative way. And because of his sinful lifestyle, his theology was formed out of that, and yet there was a Celtic Christian theologian who was born out of a Christian family. And he came in with the theology of rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, you might as well say. And they clashed in the theology of the time. And so the particular one who was negative and grew up negative won the debate, and the church, particularly the Roman church today, establishes a lot of their theology on that. But I come back to this point through what Paul wrote, because I like to see what Paul wrote as a, I mean, Jesus is my top, of course, but Paul's next, isn't he? In the sense of bringing revelation, unfolding the mysteries of Christ, the things that were hidden from old, and things we can enjoy today. And the thing that he said in Galatians 2:20 is, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And I think that's the central message of the apostolic fathers, if you like, and those who flow in that sense today. For us, I am crucified with Christ. No longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. I remember a guy came to us in the church years ago, in 1993, from Argentina, an American guy living in Argentina, and through the revival of 1949 in Argentina. His name was Dr. Ed Miller. And he believed this. He said, in the end times, the devil has released three major spirits. One's called name of God, unfortunately, I am, I know, I will, and I know. And notice that the I comes first. I, it's all about me, I am. And look at the humanism today. It's this whole thing about me. I am, I will, I'll do anything I like, and I know. You know, and it's got so bad today that you can be anything you want to be today in this whole complex world. In the freedom of so-called education. I can be an eagle if I want to be and express myself that way, and I can do all these things, and you think, what we've done is break through the boundaries and good safety measures that God's put as accountable people, as humans who live in this earth as humans, you know, and the order of God, male and female and so on. And so that's what I want to be clinging to. So come with me, if you've got a Bible, into Scripture, which is 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. So numbers of times you'll find debates, like Romans 7 and Romans 8, there's a debate about, you know, Paul says, you know, the wretched man I am, who's going to save me from this body of sin, and so on. And then he goes, and of course in the old original manuscripts, there were no chapters. So the letter just flows straight into chapter 8, you know, but there's therefore no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. So that's that debate. It's a good bit of homework for you to do sometime and look at it. It's really quite releasing. But So here in verse 9, John says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin. Now, why is he writing that here? It's because of the day that he lived in, there was this contest about sin. And so in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you. All that goes on there. And some of the writers of this progressive Christianity today that's around us say, oh, you know, we're completely forgiven and he's only talking to sinners about this. No, that's not true. He's writing to the church. And it's saying, if or when you confess your sin, and the word confess means that you know in identity and the knowledge inside that you have sinned, then, you know, God will set you free, which you already are, but he's reminding you that you are free and you are being cleansed from all unrighteousness. But the thing is, he doesn't stay there and it calls us into an identity in 1 John 1:9, into an identity as sinners. He says, if you do sin, this is what the process is. So there we come here. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. Now that seed there is an interesting thing. You know, if you plant a seed in the ground, it's interesting because I got from Gregory a whole lot of, tomato. You gave me a tomato, that's right. And I've taken it home and dried the seed. And now the little plants are about this high because I really enjoyed the tomatoes that you had. And I've got some tomatoes in the car to give back to you. Not yours, but the ones are given to me. And when you see the little tiny seed, like a carrot seed, so tiny you can hardly even see it. But you know what's interesting in that is everything it needs. You can't see it. It's like the egg, isn't it? You eat an egg maybe for breakfast, but you've just eaten a lot. Then we eat an egg, then we go and eat fried chicken. You think, well, didn't we eat just chicken? You know? So when you eat the egg, you eat everything about the chicken. You eat the chicken, the feet, the feathers, the beak. It's like, ugh, I don't want to eat eggs again. but it's the seed of the kingdom of God that he's put inside you. It cannot go away. Mm-hmm. And so it gives birth to something called fullness. It gives birth in miniature, but nothing can stop it. You can. Many people try to, in that sense, but most people who are born of the Spirit, they start that way and it expands inside you. So it's like, you know, walking down the street, a concrete path, and you've got this little weed sticking up in the middle of the concrete path in a crack. How did that happen? Well, that happened by a seed. Says most seeds are very, very feisty, most seeds, because they just happen to believe they're a seed. But I think most seeds don't just believe they're a seed, they believe they're actually a tree or what they were planned to be. And they've got the audacity to go like this. Concrete. Like that, you know. And in fact, if you've been bushwalking or go out in a rock somewhere, and the audacity of a gum tree to grow out the side of a rock. And you see this tiny little split and this huge thing growing out of the side of it, and you think, how did you get there? And that's the kingdom of God in us, isn't it? So the thing is that tree never looks back and says, oh, I'm just a seed, I can't do anything. Like, see, I can't do anything because of sin. It actually knows it's going to be a tree of some magnitude, some height, and whatever else. And even though the situation might squeeze it from reaching its fullness of what it could do in the forest, it still represents the whole, doesn't it? Yeah. It's the same for us. Sometimes conditioning in our lives hold us back from what we think we should be or do or whatever. But God makes sure through the seed in you that you will reach what he called you to do regardless. You hear that? Regardless?
Yeah.
Yeah? So what causes the mechanism now of that? See, because it says that I was and now I am, what? Raised from the dead. Is that right? Now I'm raised from the dead. Look, honestly, around, if I could really be bold and say probably quite a lot of Christian people and Christianity and churchianity, if I can use that word, are cross-based. Everyone focuses on the cross. You see the people hanging around their necks, not that I'm trying to pick on you if you've got a cross there today, but it's almost like you see them on walls, you see them on buildings, you see the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. And I wonder sometimes, is that a sense of idolatry? sure, it's about being freed in a sense by the blood. But when I read the scriptures, I find in the New Testament there's a whole lot of stuff about the resurrection, that I knew about a new life, not about an old life hanging, because one was hung on the cross for us, as the Bible says, once for all. His blood was shed once for all. So it's all about focus, isn't it? If you see this wooden cross on the wall, it's good to remind you, but sometimes it goes beyond reminder. Sometimes the devil uses that to come to us, you wretched thing, you've sinned today, and so on and so on. And so when you go to bed at night time, it's like you're shuddering. I know people that do this, by the way, shudder away thinking, oh, I've sinned today, God, show me my sin, I don't know what my sin was. And you think, surely God's big enough to show you in life as you walk in life with him, with you, how will not? And as you walk, okay. Because we're not sinners anymore. That's right. We live in the resurrection life. We're born of the Spirit. We're born of that seed that creates life in us and gives us life. Amen? Got that? So let's not be cross crazy. Let's be resurrection crazy, eh? Yeah. Resurrection life. Amen. So what I wrote down here is that I thought a bit about this. Sin consciousness has a lot to do with me, the I bit. And somehow, if I'm sin conscious in my life, I'm really not trusting fully in the finished work of Christ, because I'm in it. You got that? Because somehow it's a trick of the devil that puts me in it. It's all about how I feel, and if I feel bluesy today, you know, all that stuff. But when we're living in the reality and the truth of the word, in the Spirit of God, there's life forevermore, isn't there? And that's flowing out of our lives, and it changes our day totally, because we're thinking righteously. We're thinking about above things, not from the earth to above. We're thinking from above down to the earth. That's what the mind of Christ in Ephesians 4, the debate of the mind of the earth and the mind of heaven. That's the debate that Paul's talking about. A couple of scriptures here I just want to remind us of. One is in Hebrews 10, 9 to 10. Where Jesus says, here I am, I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Christ once and for all. That straight away wrecks the other old argument as far as I'm concerned. And we know the cross definitely is powerful, because the cross is a sign of the finishing. It is finished, Jesus said. And what does that mean? It means the old creation is finished and the new has come through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, if you read the beginning of John, the first chapter, a lot of that language is about a new creation, about the creative type language, you know, about Jesus coming to be a new creation warrior, if you like, to bring in the kingdom of God. Another one says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. So that's what happens, that God disciplines us, disciples us, if you like. God equips us, the Father to us, lifting us out of the miry clay. So our thought processes change from being poor on me into, wow, what a wonderful God lives in me today. And we have a great enterprise together. Did you get that? So it's what you focus on in your day. You know, even if you get angry, and like most men suffer from some sense of anger through frustration or something, because our goal always is to get the job done and get it done right, mostly. And when that doesn't happen, it's like you can get this frustration. But you know, if let that go and start to focus on him, that's the one who carries us through things, you can let it go a lot easier than trying to carry it through the day and then take it somewhere else. So it's interesting, Hebrews chapter 12, so therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run, look at the word run, with perseverance from the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith.
Yeah.
Mm. Amen. It's important, isn't it? John 17, Jesus' prayer. And he says that we are his glorious ones. He said that we are his glory. You know, and that's what my mind thinks about these days. And I used to be thinking about, oh, how bad Richard is because he can't do things right. But you can turn it around just by choice of your will. And let the scriptures and let the Spirit of God with the scriptures sink into you. And let the life of Christ, who raised us from the dead in actual fact, focus on that to overcome. And so when things go bad, overcome it by turning your mind around into the mind of Christ. Amen? And so in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it's there, it says that Jesus became sin so that we might become his righteousness. Wow! That's a free gift, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if it's a free gift, we have it forever in him. Holiness is something you work out through discipleship with God. That's what Hebrews is talking about. But we are God's righteousness. Is that right? And so you keep your mind stayed upon those things. I had the laugh when you read in the book of Acts, you've got Paul before Festus, you know, these leaders of the community, and Felix. And so here he is trying to explain to them the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he's talking about Jesus and so on. And they're almost on the edge of, yeah, maybe, considering like that. And then he says, and Jesus is raised from the dead, and they went, what? No, you can almost feel them exploding, going, how ridiculous! Well, we'll see you again sometime, Paul. And so I thought to myself, well, it's okay to talk about Jesus come to pay your price for your sin, but when you talk about being raised up with him, well, the enemy of our souls don't like that at all in people's lives, and so they manifest as those guys did. So how powerful is the resurrection life in your life? When you walk down the road, when you walk in the paddock, when you're together, how powerful is it that you're liberated within yourself because you died and Christ is in you and completes you inside? Now, how powerful is that today? And of course, this is a devotion. How can you be free to be, let that devotion to God become excellent in that sense today, is simply by choosing the way, because it's been made for us. Mm. You got that? Mm. Life-changing power, the resurrection power of God in our lives. Mm. And here, we're here to be life changers, world changers, aren't we? Mm. What was it like for the first church when they said, these people that changed the world? Mm. That was the accusation against them. Mm. I long for that. In our cities and so on. Imagine Launceston today, if every Christian who met today, they were world changers in that sense. The whole community would be going, those world changers have gone to meet again. Look out, when they come out, we're all in trouble. For you, with your presentation to the world around you, look out, the world changers are here.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for world changers today. We thank you we have the right to change our sphere that you've given us to govern on your behalf. Lord, for anyone in this room today that has difficulty transferring from being a sinner, saved by grace, into a saint, Lord, let your way of dealing with us change our mindsets to be able to think as somebody raised from the dead. We thank you for your companionship. We thank you for your great love for us. Amen.